welcome to Dear Alice, a lifestyle approach to interior design. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dear Alice. Today, we are going to be rounding out this podcast with common design mistakes. This is our part two, and I hope you enjoyed part one. We were on fire. We're really passionate about these topics.
We had a real bone to pick.
Yeah, we do. Nothing makes us madder than good money spent on bad design.
Oh, it can be spent for good or evil, you guys, and so much of the time it's spent for just really long time regrets.
Yeah, totally. We just want to help you get it right. And we want to get it right. We know you want to get it right. So we're just talking about what not to wear. Remember that show?
Ooh,
yep. I used to love that. Stacey and Clinton.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's funny.
What was that show? Was it TLC? The Learning Channel? Was it on that?
Yeah. TLC.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, it's weird I know that, but I used to watch that show.
Yeah. So I'll be playing the role of Clinton. You'll be playing the role of Stacey. And we're going to tell you what not to wear.
Yep.
What not to do in your house.
Okay. So again, these articles are from Elle Decor. We'll post them, show notes on our story and stuff like that. But this first one to me kind of feels like the opposite of what we ended on in the last podcast. So this is, it's referred to as iconitis. Mm-hmm. That's basically too many iconic pieces. So the quote from Joe Nahum says, too many iconic pieces together in one room. Man, I cannot pronounce these names. Mies van der Rohe with a Herman Miller with a
Saarinen
is too much information at once.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm all about a hero, but I think especially
it's just
a hero's
a
amidst one era.
Yeah.
I think that's what we need to talk about is that you can have a lot of heroes from different eras, you know, with plenty of other things to kind of fill in the blanks to let them shine as heroes. But when it's all from mid-century, or it's all from like Louis the 16th and everything has a cabriolet, like you don't need that many things. Nothing looks special at that point. And especially with these icons that he's referring to, everything's sitting high up off the ground. Mm-hmm. There's nothing foundational or solid kind of anchoring the space. And so that's what we're talking about. Don't get stuck in a time period. It's not flattering.
If you're having a hard time envisioning that too, go to the article. Because I feel like that picture is very, that they use there is like very true to this.
Yeah. And it feels kind of sterile too.
Like it feels like a movie set from the 1950s.
Yeah.
And not a good one.
You know, and also in the 50s, the people were smaller back then than we are today. Think about your grandparents. Even your parents, right? Yeah, totally. We're eating chicken breasts with steroids in it, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting big. I'm 5'8 now. How tall are you?
My milk has tons of hormones. How about yours?
Yeah. I mean, but you know what I mean? Yeah. We just are taller than our predecessors. And I think back then, the Herman Miller lounge chair, very iconic, but have you ever gotten in and out of it? It's like getting out of a bathtub.
Yep.
You know, it's very, very low. It's lovely to look at in a room.
Real core workout.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But I think though, like back then the men were probably like 5'7" and 120 pounds, you know? Yep. And so that really worked. But a whole room full of that just really does look like a movie set. It's like Mad Men, you know, from the 60s or something. Put a piece in a room and I think you look very stylish and chic and like a cool collector, but we don't need to see all your stuff in one room at once.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also with mid-century, I kind of feel like in newer homes, ceilings are taller and everything feels like smaller.
It looks like dollhouse furniture.
So, and especially with great rooms and stuff like that, you're like, man, like in my old house, it was a mid-century house, but every room was like pretty small and the ceilings were low.
Yeah.
I could see how that it could fit there, but these gigantic rooms, it just looks tiny, like you're going to play with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Amen. I like iconitis. I totally get it.
I know. And I like when you break down that, like, itis means like inflammation of.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Icon. It's inflammation of too many icons.
Yeah. So you can, you'll be actually cooler if you do less.
Yes.
Just have one in a room and let people think, wow, what interesting taste you have without overdoing it.
Yeah, you're not trying too hard.
Yeah.
It's the exact right amount. Okay.
So this next one is from Martin Lawrence Bullard. He says the karate chop of a pillow is as dated as wearing brute aftershave, just more offensive.
That's amazing. We do need to talk about the karate chopped pillow because everybody knows what we're talking about here, right? You have to have a downfill to be able to pull it off. And they would karate chop the center of the pillow, which would make the two points of the pillow bounce way up and sometimes even touch at the top if it was karate chopped too severely. And it was like, you'd see sectionals with you know, like toss cushions or no, or tight back. And then all these toss pillows, the bunny ears standing up straight, you know? And it was just like such an unrelaxed look, and we're not doing it anymore. I think it looks really nice just to sort of press the sides of the pillow in and then press sort of the top and bottom in just to give it some loft to make the pillow look soft. But you're not like hitting it in the middle with doing a karate chop and making those lines look really fierce.
Where did that come from?
It's kind of unbelievable too.
You know? Martin Lawrence Bullard probably started it. Now he's trying to take it back. I don't know. That's a good question. It was just kind of adopted. Yeah, you know, it's like the French tuck.
It was clouding the fact that it was a down, right? Because a poly can't karate chop at all. And it's not to say, again, the loft is true. I think someone that does their pillows really well when I see them in a magazine is Suzanne Kassler. Like her stuff, like they're always just kind of laid relaxed, like they're ready for you to lie on. And something when you see a sectional or a sofa that has karate chop, you know, points that are touching whatever, it's not believable. I don't want to go sit there. It's not like, it just doesn't feel loungy.
Yeah, so. It feels like we just made this perfect, so don't mess it up again, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But with, Suzanne Kassler and like the sofa's kind of
relaxed.
Yeah. Leaning or laying into the arm a little bit. You're just like, oh, I want to melt into that scene. Yeah.
Yep. So try and be authentic. Mm-hmm. Make it livable. Don't karate chop everything.
The next one is a quote from Jamie Drake saying, "I love bling, shine and sheen, but give me the real deal." So that's basically talking about like fool's gold, fake finishes.
Yeah.
Metal.
Amen. I think we've seen, you know, brass and gold finishes have trended for a while. I mean, we've been doing this for 13 years and we've been showing, you know, gold and brass finishes for that long. So we know that silver is going to start swinging up again. Mm-hmm. But because of that, most things aren't real brass. Right? They're sprayed to look like brass, or they're just off. They're a little too yellow. Mm. Or one of the biggest offenders for me, I'm going to get tomatoes thrown at me when I'm saying it, is rose gold. Mm. Like, I don't want that in any finishes for the home.
It looks like cheap tarnished brass.
It's just not. You know, it's just, it's like pink metal.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like maybe Pottery Barn teen. That'd be cute in a teenager's room.
But would it?
You know, but that's like
it's like
fleeting.
A copper penny of a thing.
Yeah, it's just not right. And there's just too many faux brass and gold finishes.
It doesn't have any warmth to it either. It feels, I mean, there probably are some finishes that people love. I don't like any metal finish that feels too cold.
Yeah.
Like a chrome or.
Yeah. I think one thing he's talking about too, I think like Z Gallery is an offender of this, of just like that cheap, shiny gold metal of anything that just doesn't have any authenticity or any, like, it's not a living finish or it doesn't look like a living finish. Mm-hmm. It just looks fake. Like it's plated.
Yeah. And too much of it in a room as well. Right. Yeah. Like you have to have some restraint. I think when we go into Z Gallery, you're just like shiny, my eyes, you know, if it's not nickel, nail heads everywhere, then it's like shiny silver legs with a glass top, which also has a sheen to it. And then it's like a white patent leather sofa that's tufted and the buttons are diamonds or something. Do you know what I mean? Ooh, it's just
everything's
like,
reflective.
Everything's shiny. Yeah, totally. It's just too much.
Yeah, and it doesn't look glam.
No,
it's like the opposite. If you say that's your style, that's the opposite of glam.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Fool, eat it.
Fools, hashtag fool's gold. Yeah, I like that, Jamie Drake. That's good. I'm with you. Give me the real deal. And I'm going to circle back to the Iconitis too. If you're going to buy, you know, one of the classics, buy the real thing.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Just own the real thing if you're going to do it. Don't fake it.
Good call.
Yeah.
And it goes like a handbag, right?
It's like the Hermes blanket. Yeah. Buy the real one. Don't buy all of the knockoffs on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Like live well, but don't fake it, you know?
Yep.
That's my sentiment on it. It's just, I don't know, it's disposable and the thicknesses are wrong and the stitching on the edge is wrong. And it's like when you used to go to What's that street? Canal Street in New York. Mm-hmm. You buy a Kate Spode bag. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Prado.
Prado. Prado and Kate Spode. Yeah, totally. And it's just not right. Or like Kate Spade is written upside down or something. And I don't know. You just like, just live authentically, you know? You don't have to fake it.
Yep. Totally.
Save up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The next quote is on dried flower arrangements. Nate Berkus says, how exactly does one clean them?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Do you remember? I remember like in high school or someone would give you a rose, you'd hang it upside down from your window and you'd be like, oh, I'll remember this forever. No, it's just going to be dry and crunchy and should be over there with the reclaimed wood.
Like, or how about when like you'd press it in like a big book and they're like, what does one want with a flat rose? It's no longer three-dimensional and crunchy. It's flat and crunchy.
I'll sketch you one.
Oh, man.
You want something two-dimensional.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's how just does, gross. I wanted to answer that question. How does one clean one? Do you remember back when we first started that bougainvillea?
Yes.
We sold a lot of those dried flower arrangements. It was kind of all within the name of like French countryside and, you know, that sort of feel. But they were real dried flowers that he had...
petrified.
It's like what you do to dead bodies. Yeah. Embalming. Yeah. He embalmed flowers. Ooh. And all of this, and you could touch them and they were crunchy, but they were still soft. Didn't he say that you just submerge them in a bathtub?
I think so.
Anyway, I'm just answering Nate Berkus's question, but he's right. Like,
hold on. That's how you would clean him is just.
That's what he said. But also the point of this podcast isn't to say how to clean dried flower arrangements because we just shouldn't be doing them.
Yeah.
But I remember that's how like in 2008, that's when, you know, this was going on and reclaimed wood and, you know, everything was crunchy back then.
Yeah, exactly.
Dry and crunchy. So. Everything would give you a sliver back then. Yeah, I agree, Nate Berkus. How does one clean one? It's just not right.
Don't do it.
That's I don't awesome. Think anybody's doing it.
Yep.
Nobody's
in the cloud.
Nobody's drying flowers anymore, though, are they?
You know why? There's probably a handful, but they might not be listening to this.
They're keeping
podcast.
Them on in a niche. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was customized for the flowers.
Yes.
Anyway, yuck.
Okay, this one is what we've talked about quite a bit.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Corey.
Hotel-inspired rooms. So the quote is by Brian McCarthy. He says, the idea that a hotel room has a look you'd want at a home is ridiculous.
Amen, Brian McCarthy. We have so many people, when we talk to them about their primary bedroom, what do you want this to look like?
It can be anything.
Yeah, it can be anything on earth, right? It's a new construction. No decoration has been done yet. It can literally be anything. And they'll say, I just want it to feel like a hotel. And you're like, no, you actually don't. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that really generic, stale, you know, dark fake wood nightstands and upholstered headboard that's flat up against the wall.
Condo art.
With condo art and comforters that are polyester. Or maybe it's nice. Maybe it's a really nice hotel and you've got yourself a white duvet. But hotel rooms are made to just appeal to the masses. There's nothing really special or super, super sacred about it. And we have stayed in really beautiful hotels too, but these are designed to be just agreeable spaces, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
I will say it's probably the last night of good sleep they really had.
Yeah.
That's probably why they're just like, that was awesome. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's true. Cause no kids are like banging on their doors they can close those blackout shades and sleep. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Go ahead and get yourself some blackout shades. We'll help you with them.
It's like, they like the feeling of escaping. Yeah. Maybe that's what they want from their bedroom.
You're talking about like the proper hotel in Malibu. Mm-hmm. Don't do a hotel inspired bedroom.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear a story? Maybe this is inappropriate, but this, every time I think of a hotel room, I think of this because it was a few years ago when Mari and I went to Vegas just to shop for a little bit. And we're so relieved just to get a break. And we like laid down in the bed and we looked up. And so now every time I think of a hotel room, I think of this. And I was like, what is on the ceiling? And I got up and looked at it. Mm-hmm. Someone had picked their nose and wiped it all over the ceiling.
Ew.
Yeah, boogers. And I had to call. I called the front desk and was just like, there are boogers on our ceiling. It was, so now it was a nice hotel in Vegas. It was not a cheap hotel, a lot of money on it. So now I'm just like, is that what you want in your home hotel room?
Yeah. Gross. There's a reason why they don't have a lot of lights up in there. I'm just going to say, have you ever been to a hotel room where you can like flip on a switch and really like,
there's none. You can turn on the
transparent.
You
experience.
Can turn on the lamps and that's it. Uh-huh. Other than that, they open up the shades in the day and that's where you're going to get your light source from.
There's probably a reason for that. Aside from cost savings.
Yeah.
Better left and dim lighting.
Amen.
Yep. Don't get it.
Okay. The next one. This one is, avoid condo art or tourist art. I don't, what do you guys think of that? The quote on it is, if there are buses parked in front of the gallery, go elsewhere.
Yes, totally. You guys all know what we're talking about when we say condo art or tourist art, or I want to say timeshare art. Yeah. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
If it's behind, came with it's the a frame. Painting
it's all very themey.
And it has a typed like title at the bottom. Don't get it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Art's a hard one. I will say it's the hardest layer. We'll design an incredible scene for any room in the house and the clients will be a go, but then the art is usually like, you know, like we don't understand this, or we want it to mean something to us, or I don't like the feeling this is giving, or, I don't know. Some people don't want to pay for original. Other people do want original. It's a really, really fine, it would probably be like trying to choose a wedding ring. You know, people just want it to mean something and remind them of something. It's got to be so special and I'm going to live with it forever kind of a feeling.
Do you think do you guys find that couples disagree more on art than anything else or?
You know, actually, no, I think most couples, surprisingly, would probably agree because they've had similar experiences where art is emotional. They might not agree on a sofa arm or, you know, like one's traditional, one's a little bit more contemporary, but I think art is, I haven't really run into too much of that. I don't know about you, Jess, but,
are the breaks just like kind of, you were saying on like on art, just like not having a connection to it?
Yeah. And a lot of people haven't bought art before.
They just don't understand what they're drawn to yet.
Yeah, they don't. So they don't find a lot of value in it. But if you want to get a piece that's large enough to fill your great room walls, right, then it's going to cost some money. If you've ever had anything framed, even at Michael's, right, the bigger the frame, the more expensive that piece is. And you can imagine buying large art plus framing it is a lot of money. So I feel like we do a really good job at getting super large pieces at really, really fair prices. But, you know, it's just like they feel like, oh, my gosh, it's such a huge commitment. It's such a vibe. And I don't know, I've never bought art before. And it's just kind of this... feels like a lost art or something. Yeah. I mean, if you can't get along with a lot, then usually you can get along with like a landscape or some sort of contemporary movement that's just like ethereal. It's just a feeling, but it's not so much a subject matter. The subject matter is the most polarizing thing. People are like, I cannot have a subject in my art. I don't want another person looking back at me. Mm. Or I don't like horses, you know, or... Oh, it's an interesting thing. One thing that really sells super fast and really well is whenever we get this art in with skiers in it, because we live in Utah. So people walk in and they're like, oh my gosh, I love that. Right. Cause it's this activity and we all have memories of skiing here. So that's an easy sell. And then usually just really simple color palettes, but anything that's really going to bring your room alive, there's always great pause to like doing that really fashionable, bold thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Which to that, I think most people need to kind of go on that exploration, even almost a little bit before you work with a designer, just to kind of understand, and a good designer can help you work through that, but just kind of figure out where you lie on art and go from there.
Yeah.
But don't call it in, especially this condo art. That's like the stuff that you'd get at like Bed Bath & Beyond too.
Oh,
like
it's just glossy.
It's glossy.
Also,
it's not big enough.
You're not going to, ever listen. Anybody within the sound of my voice right now, never hang a canvas wrapped anything on your wall. Canvas only, no frame. That's not a thing anymore.
That's funny.
That's not okay.
So not like a family picture.
No.
Get it framed with a floater frame or something.
Yeah, but also don't print it on canvas anymore. I feel like we're done with that.
Yeah, my canvas is for like painters.
Yeah, it's for art. It's for like art, real
it's
art.
It's not for a
We do not want to see what your face looks like on canvas.
No.
Not right now.
It gives it thickness on the wall, but it's just, it's a really like fictitious, like it's not good, guys.
It's not a painting of you. It's a photograph.
Yeah. And it's a pixelated photograph because it's like stretched on a canvas.
You, so terrible. True. You following us right now? Yeah.
Sucks so bad. Okay.
It does.
Don't do that.
Yeah. The canvas wrap's tricky unless it's a art painting, but even then you need a frame.
And you don't know it's canvas because you have layers of paint on it.
Yes.
That's funny.
Ew.
The next one, I hadn't thought about the example in forever. It almost like brought me back to childhood until we were talking about this a couple weeks ago until Jess said it. But
I just read.
So it's overprotection is just unchic. You don't need to keep those sofa arm covers.
No. Oh my gosh. Guys, I set my mom free last month. I went to her house and we were just kind of like fluffing and tickling the house as we do. And I was like, what? How have I never taken her arm covers off her sofas before? Like, these aren't new things, guys.
How long has she had the sofa? Yeah.
Over a decade.
Crazy.
And guess what?
The arm is going to get so much wear that it facilitates a cover.
Can you believe, like, we have
like
never.
A seat. You're sitting your actual, like, body on a seat.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Why would we do that?
I don't know, but I took them off.
I always thought it was like a fabric sample. And I was just like, to match
Mom,
other things
we're going to throw these away. And she's like, oh, yeah. Like, she was all for it. And it was like, nobody had set her free before. So I am just going to pay that forward right here and right now. Everybody that has arm covers on your sofa, if you have a hard time throwing those things away, just remove them from your sofa, tuck them under the sofa, just see how it feels for a while. It looks so much better. Mm-hmm. It's like a skin tag.
I was about to say
it's like so gross and weird.
That's funny.
Yeah. I guess they probably thought that you would like launder just the handkerchief on the end of the sofa.
I know.
So bizarre, right?
Yeah, I will not protect you from COVID.
I'll bet you nobody's washing those either. Those have just been sitting there for decades. Anyway.
Rose.
That's funny.
But the arm underneath that.
Overprotection is unchic. Also, like I remember Adam's grandparents, Grandma Tenenbaum, they had, you know, like a really expensive sofa in those days. And of course it was like laminated.
Oh yeah.
It had like a plastic cover on it.
What is that called?
What a shame.
Is there a name for it when they have like a
plastic cover?
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I can't think of it right
sofa
now.
Sofa condom?
Yeah, there we go. That was it.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, like what on earth? How unwelcoming. Man. You sit down and it's just like this crackly cream cheese. And you're like, so is it okay that I'm sitting on this, right?
And it sticks to your body.
Heaven forbid you just went swimming.
And you peel yourself off like a fruit roll up, you know? You're like, what on earth? Man. Yeah, overprotection is just unchic. Yeah.
It's basically an invitation to never come back to that. Home.
Yeah.
Really.
It's, you know what it is? It's like, don't get comfortable. Yeah. Whatever you do, not get comfortable here. Yeah. Sit on a dining chair.
Gross.
Yeah, totally.
Gross.
The next one comes from a Martin Lawrence Bullard quote. He says, rooms without dimmers are social suicide.
Oh, thank you, Martin Lawrence Bullard. Amen to that.
Yeah, I love a dimmer.
I have dimmers on all my chandeliers. Do you want to know what I don't have dimmers on, though?
Mm.
My can lights.
That, to me, that's like the biggest thing because... Yeah.
Those things, you know what those things? They just stay off because I am offended by them.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, why did I put cans in?
More,
I have chandeliers. I have lamps.
Yeah.
I'm ugly if anything else is turned on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Have you?
Also, my room is ugly. So I you know, when I build a house again, I am just really going to think real hard about where and why I need a can.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a podcast on can lights. That was a question that came in. And I think that we feel differently about it than electricians do.
We do.
Totally.
So we should talk to them, but not interview them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to make sure that we can share our sentiments and their sentiments.
Without being offensive.
Without
to
having
to
it be a battle. Yeah. A battle of a podcast.
I don't want to fight with our electricians.
No, we really like them, but we just sometimes feel differently than they do.
Here's the thing about having dimmers on cans. And I learned this because in my old house, I put them in. There was no overhead lighting whatsoever. There was one can light. And it was like you felt like you were on a spotlight
like
on you.
Corner.
It was so weird. But we put like six in our room and we came home and turned them on. It was nighttime and it literally was like hurt your eyeballs. It was so bright.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Christmas house.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was fine during the day. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, at night it was too much. So we had like definitely put a dimmer on it, and then you could just bring the light down. So the can lights are just, mm-hmm. are not for, you know what I mean? Like both day and night. So you have to have a dimmer, I think. Yeah, if you're going to have them. Yeah, totally.
I mean, you just can't set a mood, you know? I mean, picture going to a party at Martin Lawrence Bullard. Those of you who don't know him, Martin did the Kardashians' homes. He does...
He's a million-dollar decorator.
Yeah, he was on the show. He did Tamara Mellon's home, who was the creative director for Jimmy Choo. Anybody that's a celebrity and incredible, has incredible tastes, has used Martin Lawrence Bullard. And he's incredibly chic, and he's got a British accent, and he calls every woman darling. And it's the best. And he's just so smooth and suave. And, you know, if you picture yourself going to a party that Martin Lawrence Bullard is throwing, you know that it's going to be like low lights, candles, the best playlist, you know, the best hors d'oeuvres. And, you know, you feel fabulous around Martin. We've only like met with him maybe a couple times at market, but I just don't think that you're going to be an incredible entertainer if all the lights are on bright. Mm-hmm. It's you don't care about a mood if that's the case.
There's no mood in that.
No, there's no vibe.
Yeah, it's
intense. Not that interesting. I mean, you put dimmers on, all of a sudden you want to whisper and tell interesting stories and laugh out loud and you know what I mean, without somebody really looking at your dental work and you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Our skin looks weird. Do you know what I mean? I know you used to always just say like fluorescence did that, but like I think all overhead lighting like cans.
Totally.
You know, fluorescent.
Well, also, if you think about
sallow,
if you think about like photo shoots that we do for homes, we turn off all the overhead lights. Yeah. We only use natural light when we shoot. Mm-hmm. Mixed light looks terrible in a room. If you have overhead lights on with the lights coming in from outdoors, it's like one's too cold, one's too warm. So everybody takes selfies and pictures, you know, at parties today. You don't want all that mixed light going on. No. Yeah. No. So you just have on your lamps. You know, or your chandeliers are on dim, but I doubt there's very many cans in Martin Lawrence Bullard's properties or homes that he does.
Mm. Unless you love a migraine, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Last one. This one is talking about different wallpaper, and the quote is from SD Stanley. And it says, I believe she's meaning in every room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Yep. Too much of a good thing. Yeah. Wallpaperitis.
Amen.
What spaces in the home do you guys reserve for wallpaper? And maybe we're not.
I would say like hallways don't need wallpaper. I would think it's four rooms only. Mm-hmm. And we usually will wallpaper rooms that like you're doing a task in. So maybe you'll be there for a little while and you want to create a mood. Laundry rooms are a huge request. I think the largest request is going to be your powder bath. We don't really ever wallpaper a master bath, right? The dining room, you're certainly setting a mood for. Sometimes the mud hall, which is like the entrance that the family uses, and it's kind of a really fun vibe or mood to walk into. But mostly it's that powder bath, the laundry room, kids' rooms, or a nursery, a baby nursery. And at the very
texture in the master bedroom or something to set a mood, but not usually a pattern.
A theater will do wallpaper or at least wallpaper the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So it's usually when we're trying to set a real mood, give a feeling back. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I think when you are doing the wallpaper, just make sure you have all of them. You're selecting them. Make sure that they all make sense with one another. So like your different scales, your, you know, tones of similar colors. So that it's not like, every time you walk into a different one.
A different floral in every room.
You know?
Yeah.
So, what if someone's adding... What if someone's adding wallpaper to a space that didn't have wallpaper in it before? Do you guys retexture the walls to make it perfectly smooth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Skim the walls to make them smooth.
Yep.
Then your wallpaper is textured if you don't, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. Then you paper ripply like cellulite.
And we paper ceilings, you know, often too. And they usually look like this one, you know, that's highly textured to kind of, you know, hide the not perfect sheetrock job. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they got to float that smooth so that we can paper it. So yeah, a lot of prep work goes into it. Our favorite paper hanger is actually also a painter. So he's kind of a one-stop shop, which is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's it.
Great.
That's part two.
Awesome. Well, I hope we didn't offend too many people with what not to do. And hopefully that's just going to help you, avoid some of those pitfalls, but
And enjoy a laugh with us, I guess, too.
Yeah, for sure. We all have, I mean, you guys all have probably have 10 of your own that you could say right now, too. Yeah, pet peeves, definitely. There's so many more than this. We'd actually love to hear them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So write us at
pet peeves of designing.
Yes, definitely.
Homes, things that you've seen in your home that you've had to redo or when walking around in friends' homes.
Yes. Ooh, your mother-in-law's home. Let us know all about it.
Yeah, email those Hot to tea. dearalice@alicelanehome.com. That'd yes. be great. Maybe we'll do an episode about that if we get enough of them.
What bugs you?
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
I love that idea. Please yeah. send those in, you guys. Thanks so much for listening today. We'll catch you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. If you like our show, please leave a 5-star rating.